I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, if you would, this morning. And we'd like to turn to the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel, and I want you to find, if you would, chapter number 9. So Daniel chapter number 9 in our Bibles. And starting back in June, we were preaching some messages in the book of Daniel on Sunday mornings. And the Lord has kind of just continued to direct my heart back to this book in the Sundays here in June and now moving into the month of July. And I wanted to look at specifically at chapter number 9 in the book of Daniel this morning. And I trust that as we look in Daniel chapter 9, the truths that we'll be able to glean from this will be a help to us and a blessing to us. Again, Daniel chapter number 9 in our Bibles. A few weeks ago, we were celebrating, this will be on a Sunday in June, we were celebrating Father's Day. And that was the first time we turned to the book of Daniel. And we looked at Daniel chapter number 3, and we talked about those three Hebrew men and how that God used those men as an example to us of what a father should be, what a Christian should be, what a man or a woman of God ought to be. And so we touched on them in Daniel chapter 3 several Sundays ago back in June. And then after that, we looked at Daniel chapter 1 and then also Daniel chapter 5 and Daniel chapter 6. And we touched on the character of Daniel, and we talked about how the Bible repeated in Daniel 1 and 5 and 6 about Daniel's excellent spirit. And we talked about and challenged our church that day to have an excellent spirit, to be always abounding in an excellent spirit, the spirit that God wants us to have, the character that Daniel showed in chapter 1 and then in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And then last Sunday morning when we were together, we completely changed direction as far as the topic or the subject, but we stayed in the book of Daniel. And again, it's almost as if God has just worked this out this way, where the book of Daniel is just encouraging us in so many different ways. And we took Daniel and we looked at in the book of Daniel at the thought of always abounding in prayer. And we talked about the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter number 5. And so we addressed that last Sunday morning when we were together. And now we want to move to Daniel chapter number 9. And we want to talk about Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9. And just a moment ago, I think I said Daniel 5. I meant to say Daniel 2. So last week we were in Daniel chapter 2. So we've been in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We touched on chapter 5 and 6. And today we'll be in chapter 9. So we're covering quite a few of the chapters in the book of Daniel. And we talked last Sunday about a type of prayer that we saw in Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel was in a very serious situation. The magicians and the wise men were told that they needed to interpret the dream that the king had. If they did not interpret the dream, they were going to lose their lives. And Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were put into that group. They were going to suffer death as well. And so Daniel asked the king for some time. And Daniel prayed and fasted and asked God to give him the interpretation of the dream. And the Bible tells us that God did that. He answered his prayer. And we saw in Daniel chapter number 2 that Daniel prays a prayer of praise and thanks to God. And that ought to be one of the type of prayers that we pray to God. We ought to pray prayers of thanks and prayers of praise to the Lord. So prayer, I said this last Sunday morning, and we're going to say it again today, prayer is not just asking, prayer is also praising and thanking God. Well, in Daniel chapter number 9, we're going to use Daniel chapter 2 from last week and Daniel chapter 9 today to examine our prayer lives. Are we praying prayers of praise? Are we praying prayers of thanks? But then the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter number 9, we find Daniel in humility praying again. But this is a different type of prayer. And this is not just asking God for something that Daniel needs. This is not just asking God on behalf of somebody else. But Daniel is praying in Daniel chapter 9, a prayer of confession. So again, prayer is not just asking. Prayer is praising God and thanking God for who He is and what He gives to us and what He's done for us. We talked about that last Sunday morning. But prayer is also confession. Going to God and asking Him for forgiveness and confessing those failures and faults and sins and shortcomings that we have in our life. And we see that of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to look at the verses in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to notice Daniel's prayer of confession, his prayer of humility that we see in Daniel chapter 9 this morning. Now, can I say that you will notice when you read the book of Daniel that prayer is an important part of Daniel's life. Here we have a man who the Bible says prays in Daniel chapter 2. And then in Daniel chapter 6, he was willing to pray three times a day with his window open, facing the city of Jerusalem, even knowing that there was a decree that had been signed that if he prayed to any other god than the king, that he would be thrown into the fiery furnace. And then here we have in Daniel chapter 9, another prayer that is mentioned of Daniel. And so Daniel had a pattern in his life of praying. It was an important part of his life. Now, may we make application of that this morning? Because remember, in Daniel 2 and in Daniel chapter 9, we're going to examine our prayer life. Is prayer, I'll ask it by way of application this morning, is prayer an important part of your life? I trust that prayer is an important part of your life. I think we see it in the life of Daniel. So here in Daniel 9, there is a servant of God, and the Bible tells us that he is before the Word of God, and he is praying for the people of God. So as we read Daniel chapter 9, remember those three thoughts this morning. We have a servant of God that is before the Word of God, and he is praying for the people of God. May we be servants of God that spend time before the Word of God praying for the people of God and the needs of God's people. And so this is a prayer of confession that Daniel prays in Daniel chapter number 9. Now, this is one of three very significant Old Testament prayers that we find, all of them in chapter 9 of Old Testament books of the Bible. Now, we're not going to take the time to do it this morning, but if you would turn to Daniel chapter number 9, you would see a similar prayer Nehemiah. If you would turn to Nehemiah chapter 9, we're not going to take the time to do that, but if you would turn to Nehemiah chapter 9 in your Bibles, you'd see a similar prayer. And then if you would turn to Ezra chapter 9, you would see a similar prayer. So we have three chapter 9s in the Old Testament or Bible that have similar prayers. Nehemiah 9, Ezra 9, and then Daniel chapter number 9. We see it here in this chapter that we are looking at this morning. Now, I want us to notice the context and the story behind this prayer, and I want us to see this prayer. I want us to look at it and notice some truths and some principles from it today. And so let's break down the verses in Daniel chapter 9 and let's look at this. Number one, I want us to notice this morning. I want us to notice the examination of the Scriptures. Daniel is led to pray because he is examining the Scriptures. So number one, I want us to notice the examination of the Scriptures. Notice the Scriptures that Daniel is examining, starting in verse number one. It says this: in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now let's pause there just for a moment in verse number one. The Persian Empire is now under the authority of Darius. So when we're reading Daniel chapter number 9, we know that this chapter is taking place in chronological order in the book of Daniel. It's taking place shortly after the fall of Babylon. Now, the fall of Babylon takes place in chapter number 5. You may remember that. There is a king that is on the throne at that time. His name is Belshazzar. And the Bible tells us that he has a drunken feast. And in Daniel chapter number 5, as this drunken feast is taking place, he asked the servants to go get the items that were taken out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, and they're going to drink from those vessels, and they're going to worship their false gods in Daniel chapter 5. Well, the Bible tells us as this drunken feast is going on under the authority of King Belshazzar, that a hand begins to write on the wall. Now, can you imagine that scene? This is not a made-up story. This really happened in the Babylonian Empire. And the Bible tells this hand begins to write on the wall. Well, Daniel gives the interpretation of that handwriting, and the result of that handwriting is that Belshazzar's kingdom, his time on the throne, comes to an end, and the Bible tells us Babylon falls, and now they are under the authority of the Persian Empire, and Darius is the one that's in control. He's the one on the throne in Daniel chapter number 9, shortly again after the fall of Babylon. Now look with me, if you would, at verse number 2. So that sets up the scene for us. Darius is on the throne. Look at verse number 2, if you would. In the first year of his reign. Okay, so that's in the first year of the reign of Darius. He says, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel is studying scriptures here, isn't he? So we're seeing the examination of the scriptures. Daniel is studying the scriptures. Now specifically, he is looking at scrolls that would have been written by Jeremiah. So we know there's a prophet in the Old Testament named Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, we have a book in our Bible that was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the prophet Jeremiah. So that is the scripture that the Bible tells us Daniel is studying. Well, as he is studying, he finds out that the Jews would be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. So Jeremiah the prophet has already prophesied this, that Daniel and the Jewish people are going to be in captivity for 70 years. Well, Daniel, as he is reading and examining these scriptures, he's examining the scrolls of Jeremiah, he realizes that these years are about to end. Now, the reason why he knows these years are about to end is he's basing this on Jeremiah's prophecy. Now, I'm going to take the time to read just three verses from Jeremiah real quick to look at this prophecy that Daniel is speaking of. In Jeremiah chapter 25, I want you to listen to these verses as I read. Jeremiah 25, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 11. It says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." These are the scriptures that Daniel's reading from here in Daniel chapter 9 that's prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. Now verse 12 says this, "And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." Now I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 for a moment. And I want you to listen to verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." What is God saying through the prophet Jeremiah? After those 70 years are done, the Jewish people are going to get to come back to Jerusalem. And we know that's exactly what they do, don't they? They come back to the city of Jerusalem. The Bible tells they rebuild the temple under the direction of Ezra and others. And then the Bible tells us they rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem as well under the direction of Nehemiah and others as well. We read about that in the accounts of Ezra and Nehemiah in the Old Testament of our Bible. So Daniel realizes that according to Jeremiah's prophecy, we are about 2 years away from this time of captivity coming towards an end. So as Daniel's reading the prophecy of Jeremiah, he becomes concerned. And here's the concern that Daniel has. He is concerned because he believes that the Jewish people are not ready for departure. They're not ready to go back to their land. There are some things that stand in the way. And that's what we're going to talk about as we go on here in Daniel chapter number 9. But may I pause for just a moment to give you an application here as we look at number 1 this morning, the examination of the scriptures. Here's the application this morning. Here is the truth. No matter how busy Daniel was, have you noticed in the book of Daniel that he always found time for God? Have you noticed that? I mean, we've been studying through the book of Daniel, and we know that Daniel was a very important man. As a matter of fact, he had very important positions and responsibilities in the book of Daniel. Oh, with the king as well. But did you notice time and time again, no matter how busy Daniel got, he always found time for God. He always found time for the scriptures, and he always found time to pray and to talk to God. So his responsibilities did not crowd out the Lord. The Lord was not crowded out of his schedule, no matter how important his responsibilities came. The Lord was always top priority. What an application for our lives today. No matter how busy we become, no matter how important the responsibilities around us are, let's make sure that God is always top priority, and we always have time for his word, and we always have time to pray. We always have time to fellowship with our Savior. Can I say this? It is absolutely essential for our lives today as God's people. It is absolutely essential that we spend time in the Word of God and we spend time in prayer. And I think Daniel leaves for us a wonderful example. Now, number one, we saw the examination of the Scriptures. Number two, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the effect of Daniel's study. So number one, he's examined the Scriptures. Now number two, I want you to notice the effect of Daniel's study. Notice, because of what he studied in the book of Jeremiah, notice what it leads him to do. Look at verse 3 if you would. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, what is the Bible telling us? Well, the Bible is telling us that because he studied the Bible, because he studied the Scriptures, because he studied the scrolls that the prophet Jeremiah had written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the effect of that study was that it moved him to humbly begin to pray. Now, did you notice an application there? As we read the Word of God and we study the Word of God, isn't it true that as we are reading and studying and examining the Word of God, it leads us to times of prayer and speaking to God based on what we read from the Bible? Have you ever noticed that to be true? You're reading through the Bible, you've examined the Bible, and maybe at times the Word of God even steps on your toes a little bit, even makes you a little uncomfortable, even starts to convict you or speak to your heart, and it leads you to say, wait a minute, I'm not doing what I ought to do. I've noticed that as I've researched and examined the Scriptures and studied it, and it leads me to a time where I've got to get alone with the Lord, and I've got to humbly start talking to Him for a moment. That's what happens here. The effects of Daniel's study is it moves him to a time of humbly praying. Notice how the Bible describes this prayer. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 3. He says, and I set my face unto the Lord God. What is he trying to say there when he says, I set my face? I believe what his idea there is I'm focusing on God by praying and talking to him. Have you ever had a time where you've talked to somebody, but you could just tell they're not really focused on you and your conversation? Have you ever had that happen? Here's what Daniel's saying. Daniel's saying, it's about focusing on God. My face is set toward him, knowing that God is always focused on us if we'll come to him. He says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. So we know that if we're going to speak to him, we know that he's focused on us. But Daniel's saying, hey, this conversation, I am focused on what I am speaking to God about. May we seek God in prayer. Then when we choose to seek God in prayer, may we also focus on our prayer time, focus on our Savior, and may we be focused on spiritual things. Can I say, if that is not true in your life, and that is not a part of your life, and you're more concerned with earthly things, or you're more concerned with things that are temporary and things that are of only earthly value, then you're going to have struggles in your life spiritually. If you're not focused on God, you're not focused on spiritual things, the struggles are going to come. There, you might even get to a place where you're having struggles with sin and you're not growing close to the Lord like He wants you to. So let's make sure we're seeking Him in prayer and let's make sure we're focusing on God. Can I say this was something that Daniel was serious about? This was not a joke to Daniel. Seriously spending some time focused and praying on the Lord was something that was serious to Daniel. Notice how the Bible describes this in verse 3 again. He says he's seeking God by prayer and supplications. A lot of times the Bible puts those two words together, doesn't it? It talks about prayer and supplications. Now, when we say prayer and supplications, what's Daniel trying to say there? Not only was Daniel serious about it, not only was Daniel focused on his prayer time, but he was earnest in this prayer time. Matter of fact, he was so earnest about it that how does the Bible describe his prayers? It says, with fasting. With fasting. And what that means is that Daniel chose to give up meals. Maybe Daniel chose to give up other things that were needs in his life to be able to focus totally on the Lord. Now, the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about prayer and fasting. Certainly, God may have times in which he lays that on your heart, where you say, I'm so earnestly seeking the Lord that I'm even giving up times of things that are needful in my life to be able to devote that time to focus on the Lord. That's how serious he was about his prayers. But then notice what the Bible says he is clothed with. Look at this at the end of verse number 3. He says, and sackcloth and ashes. So the Bible says he's clothed with sackcloth and ashes. That sackcloth, of course, would be uncomfortable, would be very, very scratchy. And you say, well, why would they wear sackcloth? Because it was an act of humility. He took off that robe that he would have been clothed in there in Babylon, and instead he put on that sackcloth as an act of humility. And then the Bible tells us in ashes as well, as ashes are poured over him. You say, well, what's that idea all about? It has the idea of grief or sadness. And what is Daniel grieving or sad over? He's sad and grieving over the sin of himself as well as the sins of the people as well. And so Daniel is showing his humility in prayer. He's showing it in two different ways. He's showing it outwardly, but he's also showing it inwardly as well. How does Daniel show it outwardly? Well, he shows it outwardly by what he is wearing. He's wearing sackcloth and ashes, an act of humility and grieving and sadness in his heart over what is happening, not only in the nation of Israel, but he's confessing his own sin as well. Now, for us today, how would we get to a place in which we are showing our prayer outwardly? How can we say we're showing what's happening in our heart outwardly? Well, when we pray and we talk to the Lord and God leads and God directs, then outwardly we start to see a change in behavior, don't we? We're saying, God, there's some things that aren't right. And I'm taking those things to you. And then outwardly, we start to notice a change in our behavior. But Daniel's not just praying to God and revealing that outwardly, but he's showing it inwardly as well. The Bible says inwardly, he's speaking to God and he's asking God for forgiveness. That's the inward part. We're taking those prayers to God and asking God on behalf of the things that we have that are failures and sins and shortcomings and challenges and weaknesses in our life. And we said just a moment ago that Daniel was serious about his prayer, but I want to add another word. He's not just serious about his prayer, he is sincere when it comes to his confession. Daniel's not just serious about this thing, he is sincere. This is real to Daniel when it comes to confessing his faults to the Lord. So number one, we noticed the examination of the scriptures. Number two, we notice the effect of Daniel's study. But number three, I want you to notice the exposure of Israel's sin. The Bible tells us that Daniel begins to expose the sins of Israel. There's a reason why Israel is in captivity. They've done some things that have displeased God. And the Bible tells us Daniel's prayer exposes Israel's sin. Would you look at with me in verse number 4? He says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Now, I want you to notice something as we read verse 4 down through verse number 6. I want you to notice how many times Daniel makes this prayer personal. He's going to use the word my and he's going to use the word we. He doesn't just look at it as being Israel's sin. He's saying, no, wait a minute. This is a personal thing. I have failed God. We together, myself and the nation of Israel, we have failed God. Look at how he makes it personal. Verse 4 again. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We, notice he says we, not they. Daniel makes it personal. He says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Daniel makes it personal. And from verse 5 to verse number 6, Daniel exposes Israel's sin. And here's how he exposes Israel's sin. He begins to tell us in his prayer the reasons why Israel is in captivity. I want you to notice three reasons that Daniel gives as to why they're in captivity as he exposes Israel's sin. Number one, in verse number 5, he says, the reason why we're in captivity is because we have disobeyed the laws of God. We have disobeyed the laws of God. Would you look at verse number 5 again? He says this, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Yes, God had some laws and we chose to disobey them. That's the very reason why we are in captivity for 70 years. He is exposing Israel's sin before God. But number two, I want you to notice that not only are they in captivity because they have disobeyed the laws of God, but number two, they have departed from the Word of God. Number one, they've disobeyed the laws of God, but number two, they've departed from the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 5. Even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Do you know what God's trying to say here in verse number 5? Israel got to a place where they had no interest in the Word of God. They had departed from it to a place in which they had no interest at all. And can I say this? If you ever get to the place in your life where you have no interest in the Word of God, it will lead to a life of disobedience. I promise you that. You have no interest in the laws of God. You have no interest in the Word of God. It'll lead to a life of disobedience. And by the way, it'll lead you to the same place it led the children of Israel. It'll lead you into captivity and slavery. But God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to be in freedom, so he's given us his word, and so let's make sure we're not departing from the word of God. They're in captivity, number one, because they had disobeyed the laws of God. Number two, they had departed from the word of God. But then I want you to notice number three, they had disregarded the prophets of God. So they've disobeyed the laws of God, they've departed from the word of God, but they've disregarded the prophets of God. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Can you almost picture this in your mind? I mean, here's the nation of Israel, and God has spoken to Israel's kings, and God has spoken to Israel's princes, and God has spoken to the fathers in Israel through the prophets. God used prophets to do that, didn't he? But they disregarded the words of the prophets. They didn't hearken at all. They didn't obey the voice of the prophets. And Daniel said, I'm exposing Israel's sin. This is why Israel is in captivity. This is why we've been here for 68 years and we've got 2 years left to go, because we have disobeyed the laws of God. We've departed from the word of God and we've disregarded the prophets of God. And can we say that we will land in the same exact place? If that is true of our lives today, he exposes the sin of the nation of Israel. But then number four, I want you to notice this morning. We saw the examination of the scriptures. We saw the effects of Daniel's study. We saw the exposure of Israel's sins. But then I want you to notice fourthly this morning in Daniel chapter number 9, I want you to notice the explanation of God's sentence. God gives a sentence. And that sentence that God gives to Israel is one of punishment. Daniel begins to tell us this in the prayer, and he starts in verse number 7. And I want you to notice the sentence or the punishment or the judgment that God has because of the nation of Israel's sin. Can I say this before I even get to verse 7 through verse number 14? There is not one Jewish person that had escaped the judgment of God. They were going to face the judgment of God because of the seriousness of their sin. And can I say the same thing applies to us today? No one escapes the judgment and the punishment and the wrath of an almighty God. No one will escape. Everyone, the Bible tells us, will be accountable because of their sin that they have committed. And that's why it's so important to get to a place where you trust Jesus as your Savior. Because without that, you will face the judgment and the wrath and the punishment and the sentence of a righteous and a merciful and a holy God. You will face it. No one will escape it. All will be accountable. Well, notice how he describes God's sentence to this people. Would you look at verse number 7 for a moment? He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Now, let's watch this little phrase he uses. But unto us, confusion of faces. Would you look down at verse number 8 for a minute? O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces. You say, what does he mean? In verse 7 and verse number 8, what does it mean when he uses that little phrase, confusion of faces? Here's what he's saying. Part of God's punishment is that Israel is living in shame. Confusion of faces. It's the picture of Israel's shame. Why is Israel living in shame? What is the cause of this shame that they are facing? We'll look at verse number 9. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Why is Israel living in shame? Because they've rebelled against God. And when you rebel against God, you can't help but live a life of shame because of your rebellion against a holy and a righteous God. But then look, not only are they living in shame because of rebellion, but look at verse number 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. They're living in shame, not only because they've rebelled, because they've been disobedient to the word of God. But not only is God's punishment and judgment shame, but it tells us in verse number 11 that also they are cursed. Now, can you imagine your punishment and your judgment and your sentence from God being that you have to live a life of shame and you have to live a life where you're cursed? Look at what God says in verse number 11 through Daniel. It says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy laws, law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Just as Moses promised in the books of the law, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, specifically in the book of Leviticus, and then specifically in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives a promise that if you disobey God, God will curse his people. Now you say, well, what's the reason why God cursed his people? We very clearly see it in verse number 11, because they've transgressed his laws. They've disobeyed. They've rebelled against Almighty God. Well, the Bible uses a phrase in verse number 11. I want you to notice it. Verse number 11, notice how this curse came upon them. Would you look back at verse number 11 for just a moment? It says in verse number 11, therefore the curse is poured upon us. That word poured there illustrates the severity of their judgment. It wasn't just any curse. It was a curse and a punishment from an almighty and a holy God. It illustrates the severity of their punishment. Can I say, notice what we see in verse number 12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. What is verse number 12 telling us? Verse number 12 is telling us that God kept his word. He said he was going to punish. He said there was judgment if we rebelled and we transgressed his law and we disobeyed. And that's exactly what he did. He kept his word. And can I say today he'll keep his word as well. There will be sentence, there will be punishment, there will be judgment if we transgress his law and we disobey and we rebel against what God tells us to do. There'll be punishment today as well because we serve a God who keeps his word. Look with me if you would at verse 13. He says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice. What does verse number 13 and verse number 14 tell us? Well, it tells us that Israel had an opportunity to turn back to him. Isn't that what Daniel's saying here? Daniel's saying we had an opportunity to pray. We had an opportunity to seek his face and get things right, and we haven't dealt with it yet. And that's exactly why Daniel's writing Daniel chapter number 9, because he said, now it's time, Israel. It's time to deal with our sin. It's time for us to pray to God and confess our sin before a holy God. And it leads us to the last thought here this morning. And the last thought is this. I want us to notice as we finish our message this morning, the last thought this morning is this: the earnestness of Daniel's supplication. We want to notice the earnestness of Daniel's supplication as we finish this passage this morning. We saw the examination of the scriptures. He examined the scriptures from the prophet Jeremiah. We saw the effects of his study. It led him to prayer. We saw the exposure of Israel's sin. Israel's sin has been exposed. It's been brought out what they have done. And then we notice the explanation of God's sentence. This is God's judgment. This is God's punishment. This is God's wrath upon this people because of what they have done. But then would you notice the earnestness of Daniel's supplication? Daniel is going to ask God for something specific. Yes, Israel has sinned. Yes, I have sinned. But here's what Daniel says. In supplication before Almighty God, he comes to God and he says, God, I'm confessing. And God, I'm asking you to forgive us. I'm asking you to hear this prayer and to turn your ear toward us and hear this prayer so that we can be forgiven. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 15, it says this: and now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renowned as at this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly, he said. He's confessing the sin. Here's what verse number 15 is telling him. God had made a name for himself. Notice how it describes it in verse number 15. He says, he brought forth out of the land of Egypt God's people with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renowned. Meaning God has gotten himself a name when he delivered his people from Egypt. But Daniel is saying, but the problem is we have still sinned. Now remember earlier, we told you that Daniel was serious about his prayer. And then earlier in the message, we told you that he was very sincere in his confession. But I think there's something else we notice here in verse number 15. He not only is serious about his prayer, he's not only sincere about his confession, but he is sensitive about his sin. Listen today, may we be sensitive about our sin. When we have failed God, and when we need to confess that sin and we need to ask God for forgiveness, that is the exact prayer we ought to pray to the Lord. We ought to pray a prayer of confession for God's forgiveness. In verse 16 down to verse number 19, he says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Look down to verse number 19. He says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. He says to God, I'm confessing. I realize I'm admitting the fact that we've sinned, we failed. I'm confessing it and bringing it to God. But then, God, I'm asking you to forgive. Did you notice that when Daniel makes his appeal to the Lord, he makes his appeal based on the character of God? Look with me, if you would, one more time at verse number 16. He says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness. God, I'm making my appeal to you based on the fact that you are a righteous God. You are a God that will do the right thing. But not only is he appealing to the Lord based on God's righteousness, but if you look at verse number 16, look at the end of the verse. It says this: because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. He's also making his appeal based on God's reputation. Here's what he's saying: God, because of our sin, your reputation has been tarnished. You know, when you sin as a child of God, it affects even the reputation of a holy and an almighty God. If you say to this lost and dying world that you're a Christian and you live any way you want without seeking the forgiveness of Almighty God, it hinders and tarnishes the reputation of God. He said, God, I'm appealing to you based on your righteousness, and I'm appealing to you based on your reputation. God, we want to make things right so that it doesn't tarnish your reputation, your testimony, your character. But then look, there's one more way in which he appeals to God. He appeals based on, look at the end of verse number 18. He says, but for thy great mercies. He's appealing to God based on the fact that God is a God of mercy. Daniel says to him in verse number 17, he says to God, he says, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. I'm basing my appeal on it being for the Lord's sake. For God's sake that this would be done. At the end of verse number 19, he says the same thing. He says, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. He says, do this in verse 19 for thine own sake. I'm basing my appeal on the fact that we would receive our forgiveness based on the sake of Almighty God. So what have we learned here from Daniel's prayer this morning? We've learned that prayer is not just asking. Last week, we talked about how that prayer is praise and thanks. But then today, we learned that prayer is not just asking. Prayer is confession as well. May we be mindful of a few verses in Scripture before we close this morning. The Bible says this in Psalm 66. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you want God to hear your prayers and cause your prayers not to be hindered, you cannot regard iniquity in your heart or just harbor it there. You can't just dismiss it away and ignore it and act like it's not there. You've got to get it dealt with. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. To be able to hear answers from God, we have to be free from sin. We have to be right with God. And the Bible even tells us in the book of Mark, chapter number 11, you can look at verses 25 and verse 26 later, that to be able to have our prayers answered, we have to even be right with our fellow man. That means that if there's somebody you have aught with that is your fellow man, you've got to get that dealt with too, so that God can hear your prayers and so that sin does not stand in the way. He is a holy God and we are sinful people. So we've got to get to a place where we admit our sin to God and we ask him for forgiveness. We admit it's wrong, just like God says it's wrong. That's what confession is, isn't it? Confession is saying, God, I agree with you about it. You say it's wrong, and I admit it's wrong as well. And then we ask God for mercy. Now let me ask you a question. Do we deserve mercy from God? No, we don't deserve it. But aren't you thankful that God is a God that gives us not what we deserve, but what we need? Do we deserve mercy? No. But do we need it? Yes. We need mercy from God, and we've got to ask God for mercy. And the Bible says he'll give it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To me, that sounds like a promise, doesn't it, you? If we confess our sins, we need to confess our sins daily to the Lord. We need to confess our sins immediately when we know we've sinned and gone against the will of God for our lives. Prayer is not just asking. Prayer is confessing. And aren't you glad that God is willing to hear that prayer of confession? And he is able, and he's waiting, and he's willing to forgive. And can I say this? He is the only one that is able to forgive. Now, this passage of Scripture in Daniel chapter 9 is not the only prayer of confession we see in the Bible. We see Daniel, after his sin with Bathsheba, he prays a prayer in Psalm 32 and in Psalm 51 that are prayers of confession. Matter of fact, even as Jesus gives us the model prayer, in that model prayer, doesn't he say to us, as part of our prayer time, we ought to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Even a part of his model prayer is to say that it's not just asking, it's confession and asking God to forgive our sins. So as we finish this morning, let's notice the ingredients of Daniel's prayer this morning. The ingredients of Daniel's prayer. Number one, we see concentration. He focused on God. Number two, we see supplication. He pleaded to God. So he's focused on God. He's pleading to God. And then we see humiliation. He's humbled before God. But then we see confession as well. He is agreeing with God. God, you say it's wrong, and I agree with it, and I ask you to forgive me. Let not our prayers be hindered, because there's something that stands in the way that we can take to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. Prayer is not just asking, it's praise and it's thanks. But prayer is also not just asking, it's confession as well. Father, I pray that you would take the scripture passage that's been preached from Daniel chapter 9 this morning and apply it to our hearts today.